God, our Father, your word has come among us in the holy child of Bethlehem. Grant that the light of faith may illumine our hearts and shine in our words and actions through him who is Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. A few years ago, I decided to read A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. I hadn't read it up until about 6 or 7 years ago. Of course, knew the basic idea of the story, but I never actually read it. What a great story it is, A Christmas Carol. There's one part in it which where I think this is where Ebenezer Scrooge watches with the ghost of Christmas present. So the three ghosts, past, present, future. He's now with the ghost of Christmas present, and they go and watch over the Cratchit's family, Christmas family lunch. So the Cratchit family, Bob Cratchit works for Scrooge, very poor family, just get by with what they can. And it'd be great just to sit and to read their sharing of their Christmas lunch. It's just a great read. And in many ways, it says to me what joy is about if you read as they sit down and have this lunch, where they're so appreciative of everything that they have. That's for another time. But there's a bit, one of their children is called Tim, Tiny Tim. And Tim is disabled. In Dickens's book, he's referred to as a cripple. But Tim is very insightful. And I just want to read just a little bit of where his dad, so Bob and Tim, have gone to church that morning, on Christmas morning. Okay. And so they get home. And how did little Tim behave, asked Mrs. Cratchit, when she had rallied Bob on his credulity and Bob had hugged his daughter to his heart's content. See, Dickens, he has these great little phrases in the midst of this, isn't it? And Bob had hugged his daughter to her heart's content. As good as gold, said Bob, and better. Somehow he gets thoughtful, sitting by himself so much, and thinks the strangest things that you ever heard. He told me coming home that he hoped the people saw him in the church, and it might be pleasant to them to remember upon Christmas Day he who made lame beggars walk and blind men see. And this is some of the wisdom of little Tim, that he hopes that people saw him and that they were reminded of Jesus who came to bring wholeness of life to people. Jesus indeed does bring wholeness of life to people, but at Christmas, the Christian gospel, the Christian faith, makes the claim that God didn't just speak from heaven about how we should live or what should happen, but that God actually became one of us, became flesh. That God didn't remain distant, untouchable, but fully entered into this world, into our pain, our vulnerability, and our sorrows. So there's no point in a cross life where we can say, well, God doesn't understand what I'm going through. We can never say that. We might want to, and we can, but it's not reality. Because the Christmas story says to us that God came as one of us, and has complete and utter empathy with us. In Luke's account of the Christmas story, we hear of the shepherds. And the shepherds really, a little bit of different speculation about the shepherds, but the shepherds, most people would agree, were outsiders. Shepherds were seen as those who were on the fringes of society. In that culture, they were seen as quite low class, poor, and some people kind of saw them as a bit untrustworthy. But they are the ones that the angel appears to first. And we do well, when we think about the Christmas story, to look at who God appears to. And here, the angels announce the good news to shepherds. And in many ways, God is saying here that the good news is for all. It's not just for those who are mighty and powerful. It's certainly for those who are overlooked by the world. It's for the little Tims in Christmas Carol. And in Luke's gospel, this is what Luke goes on to talk about. He talks about how Jesus comes and meets with the lost, the last, the little, and the lost. That's what Luke talks about. So in a sense, this is not surprising that the angels come to the shepherds. And the angels give good news. They don't give good advice. Shepherds, this is how you should live if you do this, 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 and this. They give them good news that Christ, the Saviour, the Messiah, has been born. And so their fear is turned around and is replaced by joy. If you get to watch, if you watch The Chosen, if you go onto your favourite search engine, e.g. Google, or and put in The Chosen Christmas Messenger, there's an amazing video that they've put together, beautifully told, of this first Christmas and of the shepherds, how their fear is replaced by joy. Absolutely magnificent. Into the darkness of the shepherd's world, light shines. Our world is tarnished by a lot of darkness. And the Christmas story says to us that even though the world be dark, it's not a forsaken place. God does not give up on this world. Moreover, God has stepped into this darkened world. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son. Many of us wonder where God is amidst our lives, amidst our pain that we go through. Or maybe it's just that we get caught up in the day-to-day comings and goings of life, that we struggle to see that God makes a difference to life. That we struggle to recognize God's presence with us in the nitty-gritty of life. And that seems to be a bridge too far to recognize that God's actually interested in my day-to-day existence. Christmas says something contrary to that. That God indeed in Christ has come amongst us. That we look to Jesus and to be reassured of God's presence with us. David Lowe says this. He says, when you get right down to it, the gospel message of hope, grace, and peace seems rather improbable, even unlikely. I mean, that the creator of the cosmos would even know we exist, let alone love and cherish us. It's almost too good to be true. But for just that reason, this is the story I keep coming back to, hoping against hope, that it is the one true story we will encounter this week, this year, and lifetime. That God so loved the world that he sent his only Son into the world so that everyone who believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I want to finish this morning with a quote from Nick Cave. And some of you will know a few months ago I mentioned about Nick Cave. Some of us would know him as a singer, Nick Cave and the Bad Loves. But he's got this website, a bit of a blog in some ways, but where he answers people's questions. So people send him in a question and he answers it from his own reflection. And things he says is extraordinary. He's very much aware, like he was brought up within the church. He has this profound respect for Jesus. If he and I were in the same room having a cup of tea together, there's lots that we would disagree with about God. But the thing that we would agree with is this deep respect for Jesus. He and his wife have known profound loss. Two of their sons died, one in his teens and the other one a little bit older, a number of years ago, 10 or 12 years ago. he writes this about, because someone wrote in and said, "Oh, what are you doing for Christmas?" This was last year, December 2024. This is part of what he said. Let me just get the right one. Yep. "And somewhere amidst the feasting and joyful human messiness, this beautiful, this happy, this sorrowful estate, I will acknowledge how extraordinarily fortunate my family and I are to have this good Christmas day. I remember too, amongst all the making and the doing, the energy day revolves, that speaks so eloquently of rebirth and renewal and the end to waiting. That of a mother bearing a child in a stable, revitalizing the world for all eternity." He really says some quite profound things, but he does come back again and again to this figure of Christ. He's still working it all out, but there's something about this. At the very least, what Luke's gospel tells us is that we join the shepherds, and that as we go with joy, praising God for all that we have seen and heard. That's our task. That's our response, is to praise God for all that we have seen and heard. And may the peace of God go with you all. Amen.